You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. A very good morning to you on a Monday morning, the 20th day of January 2020. 2020, that is, yeah. For all of you who like things in simple terms. Alex Holling's going to join us today. Big weekend. 49ers going to the Super Bowl, my team. And it makes me happy. Okay. Makes me happy, not going to lie. I've been a 49er fan since I was a little kid, but I always do get nervous. So I don't talk a lot of trash about those kind of things. Unless somebody provokes me and they talk trash. So I don't normally, talk a lot of trash. But I am happy. Right? I am happy because my team's going, which always makes me happy. So, anyhow, that going on. Ohio man, he's a Packer fan. Right? So, he was, I've seen crazy things happen in sports. Therefore, I'm... Therein lies my humility. Not because I'm innately humble, but, man, I sat in Shea Stadium with the Red Sox up 5-3, nobody out, or two outs, and nobody on base, and they lost that game. So I've been witness to those biblical type of historical disasters, so normally I just shut my mouth. My daughter-in-law, Susie, she's a huge Packer fan. Yeah, she had a rough day yesterday. So the Super Bowl is set. I explained a little bit about the Houston Astros cheating thing on Friday, right? What's historically allowable in baseball, what's not. Well, now spring training is about, a month away. For most teams, they start on the 15th of February with their pitchers and catchers showing up. And then on, I think, March 1st, everybody else shows up. So depending on what position you play, spring training is either, less than a month away or a little bit more than a month away. And so teams are having their kind of fan fest thing. And so, the Astros had theirs. And now the guys who cheated are standing in front of people. And so there's two things that had cheating in the front of my head. And the impeachment thing, right? So the impeachment thing is constantly on the news, right? The news people just wearing it out. So I sat down, and I've done some work on my computer, right? And hopefully to make my show better. But anyway, I had all these things, right, when I did my over-the-air show. And, you know, you have a touch screen sitting there, and you could hit them. You could hit these things, right? You know, Al Pacino. Al Pacino from Scent of a Woman, right? So when I get pissed, I play this.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Right? Right. And then there's the full version of it.
I'm going to recommend to the disciplinary committee that you be expelled, Mr. Sims. You are a cover-up artist and you are a liar.
But not a snitch.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think I will.
Mr. Slade.
This is such a crock of shit.
It's awesome, right? The whole, it's like 5 minute scene from Scent of a Woman. Al Pacino, blind colonel in the army.
I'm going to recommend.
He lets those guys have it. So that's the root of, right? That's the root of the flamethrower comment. And then there's always this one. This is awesome.
You want answers?
Yes.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That is one of the greatest lines and exchanges in cinematographic history. Okay? One of the greatest. Okay? And the whole scene is riveting. And I remember when I saw it, I was like, fuck yes. Tom Cruise, you little punk. Right? And as much as Jessup is wrong, and the story is based on an actual incident that happened in the Marine Corps down at Guantanamo Bay, but the Marine didn't get killed. He just got beat up by his Marine Corps used to do that, right? They were called blanket parties. Everybody participated. And it happened when they were trying to send you a message, get with the program. And it was done by fellow Marines. So, yeah, so that's a little nugget. And the whole scene, right, is this.
Thanks, Danny. I love Washington.
Excuse me. I didn't dismiss you.
I beg your pardon.
I'm not through with my examination. Sit down.
Uh-oh.
Colonel.
What's that?
I'd appreciate if he would address me as Colonel or Sir. I believe I've earned it.
Defense counsel will address the witness as colonel or sir.
I don't know what the hell kind of unit you're running here.
And the witness will address this court as judge or your honor. I'm quite certain I've earned it.
Boo!
Take your seat.
That is awesome audio, by the way, in case you don't know. Then, whenever we have a problem, you used to hear this one.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, whoop. Yeah, more truer words never, ever, ever spoken. For all you Vietnam dudes out there.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb for 12 hours. When it was all over, I walked up. We didn't find one of them, not one stinking big body. The smell, you know, that gasoline smell. The whole hill. Smells like victory.
Now, you know, they do that in the movie to make Duvall look like this madman or something like that. But, you know, most people that watch it, they're like, yeah. Most of my friends that watch it are like, yeah, victory, baby. Right? But you know what makes that thing awesome is the sounds of the there's Hueys and then there's the little birds going over. Listen to the sounds of the helicopters. I love that shit. Yeah.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb.
Robert Duvall, right? He's awesome in that. Yeah. So there's other things like this will be used on Tim Lynch all the time. Oh, hold on. I screwed it up. All the time. Stop. And then there's a repeated buzzer. That's for like somebody who's way, way out of bounds. There's Frankie Lane. This is one of my favorite bumpers, I mean, honestly. I grew up with this song, right? Come on, Frankie Lane, man, that guy's awesome. And now they sing, they're wondering what the cows are thinking.
Moving, moving, though they're disapproving, keep them doggies moving wrong.
Though they're disapproving, that's like the cowboys worried about what the cows are thinking.
So we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating.
Gotta sing about your girl.
Be waiting.
That should be Montana Man's theme. He's kind of a cowboy. But he went to a private military school, man. I don't know if I could. That's like, that makes him way too legit in terms of bumper, in terms of bumper music. You know what I mean? Way too legit. The, now... Yeah, I ended before they got to Rawhide. I'm sorry about that. All right, let me go back to... So the theme of liars, right? So I'm watching the Astro players. They're trying to somehow or other navigate, you know, life now. That they have to be accountable for what they did, right? They were all given immunity if they told the truth. And I guess, you know, they did. And now people are like, and you know how the internet, man, the internet gets a, you know, gets a burn at saddle. And they start pouring over every picture, every piece of video. And now they're finding videos. Guys are wearing devices on their fingers. Guys are wearing stuff taped to their body. Right. And, you know, and everybody's like, nothing to see here. And so, again, in keeping with the theme of lying and impeachment and things like that that's in the air right now, I have this string of audio that has Richard Nixon, Pete Rose, tobacco executives, and then Bill Clinton's in there. Bill Clinton, though, he's by far the best, okay? I mean, listen to this. This is Clinton by himself, but this is, in my opinion, so this is the sitting president, right, who's scolding the American people, right? And it's like as rich as it gets when it comes down to, you know, what politicians are at their heart of their heart. And let me tell you, his wife was no different, and Donald Trump's no different, right? Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. And Richard Nixon was no different. So I want you to listen. Bill Clinton, this is just so rich. It's incredible.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Count on the table.
Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie. Not a single time. Never.
Such a good dude.
These allegations are false. And I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
He exits the room to cheering. Yes, yes, we knew it was all a lie. Dude's lying through his ass, right? Standing up there just, right? And that was not so perjury by a sitting president of the United States. Right. Is not enough, was not enough for anybody to consider that like very serious. Now, listen to the and then, but this is him like in full lawyer. If you've never heard his deposition about that would depend on what your definition of is. If you never heard that, I mean, this it makes me laugh, right? This is what it's like when you're burning it down, okay? And you believe that you have the intellectual capacity to hoodwink everybody. So here's him in his deposition. Listen to this. This is amazing to listen to. Remember, a sitting president of the United States.
Whether or not Mr. Bennett knew your relationship with Ms. Lewinsky, the official position, no sex of any kind, in any manner, shape, or form of President Clinton was an utterly false statement. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes.
If is means is and never has been, that is not, that's one thing. If it means there is none, that was a completely true statement. But as I have testified, I'd like to testify again. It is somewhat unusual for a client to be asked about his lawyer's statements instead of the other way around.
And he almost slips, right? And he says, if it was, and then it would be a, he almost says a false statement. And then he catches himself. Okay. Now, I want you to listen to Nixon. Nixon is like, I don't want to say he's a patron saint because nobody's better than Clinton. Okay, but here's Tricky Dick.
I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got. I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
My life is baseball. I hope to get back into baseball as soon as I possibly can. I'm looking forward to that. Matter of fact, I've never looked forward to a birthday like I'm looking forward to my new daughter's birthday, because 2 days after that is when I can apply for reinstatement. Now, does anyone have any questions?
Mr. Rose, the baseball commissioner this morning said, quote, I concluded that he bet on baseball. Yet you stand there now and say you didn't, but that you think the punishment is fair. How do all those things jive?
Well, regardless of what the commissioner said today, I did not bet on baseball. That's all I can say.
I bet on my team every night.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't bet on my team four nights a week. So I wasn't sending a single out to the team. I'm not going to use my closer on Friday night or Saturday night.
You realize how strange this is? Now you're telling me more than we thought? In other words, our roles are reversed here.
If you follow the Dow report, I mean, that's what Paul Jansen said, and he was absolutely right. But
wow.
Did you bet on them every night, Pete?
What's that?
You bet on the Reds every night.
Yeah, I've been on the Reds. I've been on my team to win every night because I love my team. I believe in my team.
I'll begin my questioning on the matter of whether or not...
Yeah, these are all tobacco executives being asked if they think nicotine is addicted. There's like nine dudes sitting here, right? And you know what? I don't know. A lie sounds worse in a southern drawl.
Nicotine is not addictive, yes.
Mr. Johnson.
Congressman, cigarettes and nicotine clearly do not meet the classic definitions of addiction. There is no intoxication.
We'll take that as a no, and again, time is short.
Now, listen, when it gets to southern drawls, it sounds so much worse.
We just would like to have this for the record.
I don't believe that nicotine or our products are addictive.
I believe nicotine is not addictive.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive. I believe that nicotine is not addictive.
And I too believe that nicotine is not addictive.
Now, I have to go back to work on my State of the Union speech.
This is Clinton again. And then you hear Harry Reid lie about the war in Iraq, that the war is lost, right? Which I struggle listening to because Clinton makes me laugh. I can't even get through it. Clinton, because it makes my blood boil. Harry Reid said that shit to try to win the White House. That's the only reason he said it. It didn't matter that it wasn't true. It didn't matter if he aided the enemies of the United States. And that's why Harry Reid, in my opinion, is a traitor to this country and a total piece of shit. Right?
Your relationship.
Oh, that's this is the deposition. So anyway, I found a way to automate this stuff again. So, but it adds to the show, because what happens when I get angry, then I bust out the Al Pacino thing, right? If I had a flamethrower, I would, right? Yeah. So, hold on. So, Harry Reid's coming up, and again, I'm going to do my little breathing exercises. Yeah, because otherwise the dude literally makes the top of my head blow up by saying this. We found DVDs, right, with his picture and that audio in it. Keep killing the Americans, they'll quit, just like they did in Beirut, right? Just like they did in Vietnam. Keep killing them, just like they did in Somalia. They will leave, right? They will leave.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the White House.
Oh, this is his act of contrition. And he talks about with Hillary Clinton, and he was so boxed in he had to tell the truth at that point. But it's amazing. And then to round it out, this is Today in History. You all know, yeah, big music, right? And then, you know, when somebody has a birthday, we welcome them to the show. The lovely, right? The lovely little thing.
Happy birthday to you.
One of my favorites. And then a couple of sports bumpers. Theme from Baseball Tonight. And this is probably my favorite sports bumper. It's a hockey one. I like kind of the drums and the whatever, the percussion at the start of it. So anyway, I was messing with that. But the audio from Clinton, right, is the best. And you're watching Houston Astro players, and you're watching politicians, right? Now, you know, and you can believe the President of the United States is a liar, and he is, right? But if you look at the audio and video of Charles Schumer and Nancy Pelosi defending Bill Clinton, right, for being a liar, You quickly realize that this is all a charade. This is all a charade for the White House, right? Richard Nixon deserved to be impeached, and the whole nation knew that. And we watched it as Congress came to that conclusion, right? And so, anyway, I thought I would share some of that stuff with you. All right. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Right. So, and then we will we'll check out a little bit of news and but again, I listening to that stuff to me is amazing. Is absolutely amazing to listen to. But that is the recipe, right, of how you handle adversity in the United States. Okay, admit nothing, deny everything, make counter-accusations. And the Bill Clinton thing where he's pounding on the podium is vintage. It's the way you do it, right? It's the way you do it. So expect, like, the Astros, until somebody right? Finds, hacks their text messages, and somebody admits that, yeah, that's exactly what those things are. And then they're forced to, in public, expect everybody to lie, because that's the way you do it, right? You don't tell the truth. That's the way schmucks do it, okay? I also, I don't know, I should put this on the read board, right? So let me note the self read board. There's a couple links to stuff. We've kind of followed the Battle of Samar, right, which is a battle inside the Battle of Leyte Gulf, right? And we followed the USS Johnston, which was captained by Commander Ernest Evans, who would be posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. I found two really detailed pieces. One has interviews with crew members, and I tried to play it, but I screwed it up. I didn't play. I played the wrong thing. So I'm going to put those on the read board today. So there'll be two video links to the USS Johnston. One is by a dude who has gone through the written reports. And what I liked about that was, you know, he explained, and I'm not a naval historian or anything like that, right? I think you know that. And so he explains the way the guns were organized and how the guns were trained, and they show you the computerization of and how the guns were synced on the ship to the fire directorate, right? To a fire directorate. And Libby just sent me an email and said, don't be a redneck hater. I mean, Libby, it just sounds worse with a southern drawl. I don't know why it does. I don't know why, but when you hear those good old boys say, I do not believe that nicotine, it's just like, oh, my God almighty. What about the awesome rendition of the national anthem before the Titans game? I did not see that. I saw it in the news, but I did not see that. So one of them is put together by, I don't know, he might be an amateur historian. I don't know if he's an actual historian or not, but it, you know, and then he has pictures. So when he's talking about a certain part of one of the ships, he has an image either of the ship or another ship in that line of ships. And so, you know, he's talking about the forward gun number 2, the starboard side exit door, the dude was blown through, he pops up a picture of it. So he gives you a great understanding of the battle. And let me tell you, man, Johnston, the USS Johnston and Ernest Evans, wow. Wow on top of wow on top of wow on top of wow. Evans was not having it. And I think, did he recognize the critical position that he occupied? Because this is where he is. He's in the back part of a series of what were called escort carriers. And those were just normal ships that they threw a flight deck down on. They didn't have any additional armor or anything like that. And the United States pumped these things out. And I want to say that, that's awesome, somebody calling me. I want to say that somebody, it says that they could hold like 30 airplanes on the escort carrier. And so I want to say there was 3 or 6 of those. And then there was, you know, like 4 destroyers and another 3 destroyer escorts were even smaller versions of destroyers, right? And they were supposed to protect them. And Evans is in the back of this thing as it's headed kind of towards Leyte Gulf, or I believe that would be south or southwest, when pilots see the Japanese quote-unquote center force. And Evans, and it's behind Evans to his left. So as Evans is going at his nose is pointed to 12 o'clock, the Japanese ships are at like 7 o'clock. He turns, right? Turn hard to port. And headed for him. I mean, his relentless decisive action, and one other thing that's critical in winning that fight is this. The Admiral Sprague, he launches, in fact, you can contrast this with the Battle of Midway, right? When Nagumo tries to change the ordnance on his aircraft and doesn't launch them when the American carriers are seen and make the carriers react to them. So Nagumo has all the planes in this vulnerable position as they're trying to swap ordnance now that they've seen the American carriers. Admiral Sprague, when they see the Japanese ships, he launches everything with whatever you got. And most of it was, you know, designed to be anti, you know, troop, you know, they were going to fly close air support, right? And so they didn't have, you know, the right ordnance on the aircraft. And so, but he launched them anyway. And you know, the combination of those two decisive strokes, and again, in time, without delay, boom, right? And there's a, you know, there's an old saying that an average course of action, decisively, right, initiated and relentlessly pursued is better than the perfect plan, you know, that you come to later and simply not going to get there in time. So anyway, I'll put those things on the read board. And you can check them out. I thoroughly enjoyed them. All right. So with all of that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to the Weichel family, all right? And I teasingly call Libby the tsunami lady. But over the course of the weekend, I was organizing pictures, and I came across something that I want to say a year ago last week or this week, Luke got married. And Luke is the way that I learned about the power of the giving part of what has really become the biggest part of post-traumatic winning. Okay. And so Luke fought in Fallujah as Lance Corporal in 2006. And he had friends killed, like a lot of Marines did. And he struggled with it. And he struggled with it for about 10 years. And he started listening to All Marine Radio. And he, for those of you who don't know Luke's story, the story of Luke and my story, so he would email me, right? And then he'd email me late at night when he would be drinking. And they were the crazy ramblings of a retired Marine Lance Corporal. And Luke can write, too. He didn't write like a paragraph. No, these things went on and on and on. And so, and we had talked a few times. Finally, I called him up and I said, hey, man, you got to stop drinking. Now, let me tell you what the most likely answer you would get when you tell a Marine Lance Corporal retired that you got to stop drinking. right? So if we're playing Family Feud, right, number one most likely answer on that deal is, fuck you, man. Yeah, no kidding. You know what Luke said? He said, yes, sir. And I said, hey, look, if you don't think I'll come to Alabama and yoke your ass up, you don't fucking know me, because I will. And he said, I believe you. And I said, oh, well, you should. Right? Because I'm not joking around one bit. Fast forward a few months later, I meet Luke's mother, Libby, when Libby sends me an email, right? And she's thanking me for helping Luke. And I tell Libby, yeah, Libby, you don't got to thank me, right? And this is, and again, I've tried to be a good leader, and I've probably said this before on the show, but I've tried to be a good leader in my life. So I'm not a stranger, you know, to helping people, whether it be with my radio show or whether it be as a leader in the Marine Corps or as somebody in the community. I mean, that's a part of my life. It's a part of who I am. And so I gave Libby the response I normally give people, which is this. Libby, you don't have to thank me. I watched him fight. He's part of the bravest, most selfless group of people I've ever seen. I would do anything for your son. And Libby then yoked me up. She said, yeah, you don't get what you did. And honestly, I didn't. And this has become, you know, really the critical part of post-traumatic winning. What Libby taught me was what it is to give this wisdom from our culture to other people and touch their lives. And when you touch their lives, you don't touch their life. You touch everybody around them too. And you lift everybody's life. And I didn't understand that. And Libby is the one who taught that to me. And I remember after we had our little exchange, and she said, no, look, you know, and she says it, let me play a little bit of the audio. Let me get it to the right spot. She talks about Luke, and this is the audio.
Hi, no, this is Catherine
Bassinger. That's not
You're
what
listening
I
to my dad.
But she talks about, in the audio that I play in post-traumatic winning, Libby talks about what it's like to, you know, lay in bed and wonder, you know, what's going to happen to your son, right? And so, and after, and I can't find it right now, but, or I'd play it for you. And after the beep, right, I edit the audio. Whenever I edit audio, I put a little beep in there so people will know it's edited. And so... her voice changes, and she said, I used to lay in bed and wonder and say a prayer, you know, essentially wondering if at some point Luke would take his own life, you know, and pray to God to help Luke. And she said, and you can hear her voice shaking. And she says, now I say the prayer of thanks. And I play that every time I do post-traumatic winning. And I look at everybody and I say, look, today I've told you everything I know how to change people's lives. I've given you every tool that I've developed that other people have given me. Right? And the second task is go change somebody's life. And so I, over the weekend, I'm going through messages. Now back to the story. I run across a text that Libby's brother sent to me. And he had been to Luke and Emma's wedding. And this is what he sent to me. His name's Nick. And I'm not violating anything. But the story is a wonderful story. And I hope it inspires you to go change somebody's life today. So I'll read you the text message. I am Uncle Nick to Luke. Libby is my baby sister. I know the shape Luke was in when he came home and the agony it was for them all. I would never have thought at that time, or for the next few years, that Luke would have had a chance at any semblance of order or any kind of normal life. He was a loving and wonderful, he has a wonderful and loving family, but none of us have any idea where he was and could offer help as he tried to figure out all that was in his head. Getting in touch with you guys has been the salvation for him. You were able to approach him from an angle that we never knew about by not being where he had been. Well, I went to their wedding last Saturday and was so thankful to see them show their love and emotion for each other so sincerely. I just want you to know that we are all thankful to you. Sorry you couldn't be there, but you helped make it all possible. I am praying for you, the people you are talking to, and the people you are trying to reach. May God bless you, Nick. You know, and so this thing, right, that is post-traumatic winning, it only keeps growing and it keeps getting better. And so Libby forwarded that to Luke, and Luke sent this back to his mother. He said, that sums it up pretty well. It feels good to know that I don't have to go back to where I was. And if I feel something pulling me there, I know what to do, what not to do. I'm just thankful that we crossed paths. And I'm just one of the many. What Mac is doing, who he is reaching, is nothing short of divine. Whether he knows it or not, he's an extension of Christ. Amazing man Mac is. Or should I say, he is working through him. I prayed and prayed and prayed God would fix me. He works in a mysterious way. So, you know, I cannot convey to everybody, you know, who listens to this program, you know, I mean, what is that like, you know, to be somebody who helps somebody who's in such a black place? And I just hope, and, you know, the Weichel family, you know, starting with Luke and then, you know, Libby, living me, teaching me that which I didn't know, right? Has had just a profound experience, a profound effect on me and that which I teach, right? Now, somebody will say to me, well, if they didn't teach you, somebody else certainly would have. Okay, but nobody else did. They taught me. Right. And I want to share this with you. I saw some preliminary statistics and I don't have the final ones because I have to submit a Freedom of Information Act to the 2nd Marine Division. But the preliminary stuff that I saw. Suicide ideations, that is Marines talking about killing themselves in the division, were up by 50%. Now, what is the significance of that? They're not afraid to talk about it. Suicide attempts in the division, down 50%. 50%. Suicide attempts down. So they're talking about it more, they're attempting it less, and then actual suicide down 50%. So those are statistics that are going to save more lives as they open the door for post-traumatic winning with data to walk in and say, hey, look, I can tell you where the solution lies in all of this. And it's not another program, right? It's not through a medication, although medication might be part of it, right? It's through the truth, right? And I'm going to tell you the truth today. I'm going to lay out a path for you. Right, just as you know that there's a path that leads to the dark place, there's a path that leads to a beautiful place. And that is well-worn too. It's less publicized, but the people who taught me to go there are all in this culture of Marines. Okay, it wasn't the Marine Corps didn't teach that to me. Make no mistake about that. Mother Marine Corps did not teach me this. Marines taught me this. And so this is in the coolest oral tradition of Marines who have taken care of each other for decades, that post-traumatic winning exists. And I can't tell you how proud I am. Of those statistics. And I can't tell you how excited I am. that in the future, more doors are going to be opened with the opportunity to help people get out of that dark place as Nancy taught me and has said, pre-traumatic training for people like Parker so that they sit through the class that they don't want to go to, and then they say, and then something happens to them, and because of that class, they say, I know what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, for all those reasons, right, this is dedicated to Nick, to Libby, to Luke, Emma, to Russell, and to Luther, who've had a profound effect on all of this, and I thank them.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
All right, to the weather we go. It is sunny and 31 in Quantico. It is sunny and 38 in North Carolina. Nice. Up 29 Palms, it's warmed up a little bit. It is cloudy and 52. Pendleton, cloudy 53. Camp Smith in Hawaii has cooled off a little bit. Dark cloudy and 67 there. Okinawa has cooled off substantially. Dark cloudy and 57 in Okinawa. In Afghanistan, further to the west, early in the evening, dark cloudy and 42 degrees. And in the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is cloudy late in the day and raining, 55 degrees in Ramadi. At the home of All Marine Radio, mostly cloudy and 57. Looking for a high of 64 today. And so to shithole weather we go. Up in Saskatchewan, Churchbridge to be exact. A switch from Arctic to Pacific air will push the extreme cold weather eastward and out of Saskatchewan by this afternoon. aided by south winds, the afternoon high should be at least 20 degrees warmer by mid-morning. Currently, with a few clouds, south winds at 12, temperature at 6 degrees below zero, feels like 24. But if Bev is correct, right, should be about mid-teens above zero by afternoon, right? For the afternoon, mostly sunny, winds out of the south at 20, looking for a high of 14. And the winds will make it feel like zero, which will feel warm to them. Yeah, that's how that works. The chef getting a little piece of that. Fond memories of my dad made me choose the old photo of us when I was about 6 months old. I inherited his ears. Here's Bev in a carriage. Nice. Her dad with his farmer tan. Right? Salt of the earth people. The from Nancy. Happy Monday, Mac. Here in Pleasantville at 10:40 a.m. It's sunny, 17 degrees above zero, on the way to 25. Light winds out of the northwest at 5. Here's a pic from my favorite observation post today. Beautiful. Little snow on the ground, but Erie doesn't have cold weather all winter. Does not have cold winter and snow all winter, right? From the first sergeant in Hickory, North Carolina. 32 and sunny, winds out of the north at 11. Looking for a high of 38 with an overnight low of 20. And he's got a picture of Martin Luther King on the day that we celebrate his birth, which was actually yesterday, January 19th. And the quote is this: if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But by all means, keep moving. Martin Luther King Jr. At the end of Alex Hollings, it is my custom to play a couple of Dr. King's speeches in the order that they occurred. So the first one is, I think, one of the greatest speeches in American history ever given. And that is his speech from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I think it's one of the most eloquent speeches that anybody in American history has ever given. I also think it's a masterpiece in some of the visual images that he articulates in the speech. You know, he talks about the check of essentially that guarantees freedom for everybody in the United States being returned to the Bank of the United States, right, for insufficient funds. So there's that visual. When he talks about from the snow cup, right, to the snow top mountains of Colorado, right, to the molehills of Mississippi, right, he takes you on a journey about where freedom should ring. And then he talks about his dream for his children, that they one day, right, be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. So, I mean, it is, to me, every time I hear it, I, you know, to me it's, he had a gift, man. He had a gift for oratory. And he crushed it that day. And then the second speech you'll hear is the speech before he was murdered in Memphis. He went to Memphis against the advice of some, because there was a garbage strike in Memphis, and he went there to support the striking garbage workers who were striking against the city, and was murdered the following day. But you're going to hear his speech. I have been to the mountaintop, and it, you know, it does not matter if I get there, right? I have seen the promised land. So pretty, pretty interesting. So you hear that today. Too cold in beautiful Vacaville, California. There's a picture of his front yard that doesn't look cold. No current temperature, no nothing. So, Dave, what the fuck, man? Get your shit together. All right, it is 10:55. No, it's not. It's 8:55. And I'm not going to have time to take a break. So let me do top five stories in Early Bird today. I'll do one headline from Stars and Stripes just to get you a little bit of the news from around the DOD. From the United States Army, no imminent threat to U.S. troops after report of a planned terror attack in Germany. So that's from the Army. From the FBI, Saudi Arabia most certainly helped citizens charged with U.S. crimes to flee the United States. That was a story that started late last week. Right? That started late last week. So kind of interesting. Also, if you peruse the news, there's a statue of Dwight Eisenhower and paratroopers that was erected over the weekend in bronze at the new memorial in D.C. So it's the D-Day scene where Eisenhower stands kind of talking to members, I believe, of the 82nd Airborne. And as we come up on the 75th anniversary of the armistice that ended World War II, not armistice, but the signing of the unconditional surrender of Germany here this spring, right? 75 years. So that's in the news. Marine Corps Times headlines. Interesting comments by the Commandant. Commandant calls for best and brightest Marines to serve in 3MEF. In a MAR admin, is part of a push by Berger in his planning guidance to build a Marine Corps focused on countering the rise of China as a military threat. Commanding generals, commanding officers, senior enlisted leaders, and mentors of every rank should actively mentor and identify our highest quality NCOs, staff NCOs, and officers for duty in the Pacific, Berger wrote. Berger has said he sees China's developing naval force and increasing expansion in the Pacific as a game changer, one that requires the Marine Corps to build up new capabilities and increase its integration with the Navy. And so he's talking about 3MEF. So what does that mean? Is that if you don't get assigned to 3MEF, you're not on the A-team? I don't know if I like that, right? You're not part of the A-team, right? Because you're in 2MEF or you're in 1MEF. Interesting. Now, maybe that's somebody's headline, somebody's snippet, so I'll have to dig into that before I'm critical of it. Next, the top five stories in Early Bird are, number one, 11 U.S. troops were injured in the January 8th Iran missile strike. Two, here's how much border... None of this is new. Maybe because it's a holiday and Military Times didn't update it. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings will join us here. Alex, in case you don't know, I don't know that Alex has been here for the new year. He was supposed to come on last week, but he was doing kid stuff. And so I don't know that he's been on, for God's sakes. So anyway, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on a Monday, on a day that the nation celebrates Dr. King's birthday. And so don't touch that dial. More of this program coming up next. Alex Hollings right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.